You don't bring me flowers. You don't sing me love songs.
I thought this was perfect.
This is beautiful, is what this is.
It's Tony Fulmer in the studio. Sweet Caroline.
Oh, isn't looking that.
There's my Neil Diamond.
Wendy doesn't do that for everybody, Tony.
That's a, I'm impressed.
And we'll never do it again.
No, once only.
No extra charge.
Nope.
Tony Fulmer is the chief horticulturist at Chalet Nursery. We've been talking a lot about you because we have an awesome contest going on.
Indeed.
At WGNradio.com.
Win Tony Fulmer.
Well, for an hour.
For an hour, you get to win Tony.
Yes.
As you guys celebrate 100 years as a family-owned business at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, you can enter to get that 1 hour with Tony Fulmer, plus a $500 gift card from Chalet Nursery. All you do is go to WGNradio.com/contest, and good luck. All right, where do we want to begin?
Well, what about things to do for spring?
Yes, all right. Perfect timing,
things to
Tony.
Do for spring.
What do we need to know?
Okay. Well, for those people that are wanting to start doing vegetable gardening,
yes,
and maybe they know all of this before, but one of the things that's crucial is soil temperature, not air temperature so much. So one of the thing, and one of the reasons that we post on our website, I go out every Monday with a soil thermometer in Wilmette, and I put it in the ground, wait for 3 minutes, and pull it out, and then we put that soil temperature on our website.
Yeah.
So, for example, when the soil temperatures are below 50 degrees, you can do things like arugula, kale, lettuce, parsnips, radish, spinach.
All stuff that's way too good for you.
Exactly.
When can you plant Pop-Tarts?
Pop-Tarts, you want it to be in the mid-70s.
70s for Pop-Tarts.
And you want the toaster working.
Now, with soil temperature, usually, like even though it's starting to get nice and warm out, the soil retains whatever season we just got out of, so it'll stay colder for longer, and then the opposite at the end of the season, right?
Much longer. It's a very, very much slower process to warm up. So, for example, 2 weeks ago when I took it for the first time, it was 44 degrees. In 1 week, though, it had jumped up 10 degrees.
Oh.
So it was 54.
And does it have to stay like a certain temperature for a certain number of days in order to plant well?
It's just one of those things that when it's on this cold part of the year that you really want those temperatures to consistently stay a certain in that range, like 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 above for at least a week before you consider doing these different crops of things.
Tomatoes, what's the temperature you're
tomatoes
looking?
You want it to be 70.
See, I wait till Memorial Day. Steve Bertrand said you're waiting that long, and I typically buy a plant with a flower already on it, and you just told me that I'm doing it wrong.
You really prefer not to do that. You want a plant that is just pre-flowering. You want a nice, short, stocky plant with
just
dark
like
green
I
color.
Like my men.
Yes.
Not really Jim 6 feet, but never mind.
I think we'll move on from that.
So short and stocky, and you
short
and
stocky,
you
but
pre-flowering. And you put it in, like, below the root ball quite a bit.
Well, that's only if you buy a plant that's really, really, really stretched and extra tall.
Okay.
Then you can, they're what we call stem rooters. So you can put tomatoes down 2 or 3 or 4 inches deeper. But usually that's only if the plant is
giant.
Stretched. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the tomatoes, peppers, those are America's two favorite vegetables to put in the garden, and they are both tropical, so you don't want to rush the season on that. And that's what most people want to do, and they have to understand that if that soil temperature is cold and it's wet, you can put those tomatoes in, but they're not. You haven't gained anything. So if you're trying to beat the neighbor to the first tomato,
which I am,
that's not the way to do it unless that ground is warm, because they're not. You're not gaining anything. That plant is just sitting there and it's not growing.
So 70 and above for tomatoes, and go to chaletnursery.com to check the soil temp.
Exactly.
You can buy a soil thermometer relatively
easily.
They're not expensive, are they?
No.
What do they cost?
I believe they're under $10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's easy enough.
Sure. I don't care that much about it. It's kind of like I plant my plants and let's see what happens.
But you're getting better, aren't you?
I am getting better every year. Tony Fulmer has helped me in my hydrangeas that I kind of ruined, and you told me how to prune them, wait till the buds come up, and now I've left the dead flowers on there because they look great in winter, but those should be coming off now, right?
Right. And that's another important thing. You have to be really careful. You can do some pruning, but again, the rule is anything that blooms in the spring is blooming on the growth that it made last June, July, August, September. So anything that's spring blooming, you don't want to be doing any pruning on that now because you'll be cutting off this year's flowers.
That's what I did with my lilacs last year.
And you're going to have lilacs this year.
There are buds like crazy.
Awesome. So anything that blooms after July 1st, the summer blooming things, you can still go in there right now and you can still do your pruning without affecting the flowering, because they'll be blooming on the growth that they make in April, May, June.
We had a mild winter and a pretty warm spring so far. Yes. That bodes well for people who are planters, right? That gives them a longer season to plant.
Well, actually, when that got really, really warm in February, that was pretty scary, because things, bulbs started coming out of the ground.
It psyched the plants out.
It really psyched the plants out. And so I'm really glad that it's gotten cool again. And now it seems like things are, forsythia, for example, seems to be blooming more on time and on target where it should be, which is great.
That's the first thing I see is the forsythia bushes. We have one, but all over the neighborhood. It's the bright golden yellow that you see. Mm-hmm. That's the first to bloom. And then I got to be honest with you, after the flowers come, it's just an ugly, stupid green bush.
Well, we prefer to think
Tony,
of it
Tony, you're offended,
as...
aren't you? I would be.
Come on, it does all its pizzazz,
we
and then it's
done.
We prefer
to think of it, well, I personally prefer to think of it as kind of a one-trick pony.
Oh. Okay.
But it has functioned the rest of the year. It's a rapid-growing screening shrub.
It's nice, because if you don't like your neighbors.
Right.
Fortunately, I do.
Right. Is that right? Does that shield?
Typically, there are dwarf varieties now, but typically that grows 5 to 7 feet tall and anywhere from 3 to 7 feet wide.
Wow.
But you can cut that back to the ground after it blooms, and that's so rapid it'll come back 4 or 5 feet in 1 year. So it's a value screening shrub.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not
that's
that
the
ugly.
Right way to say it. Tony, will you be accepting phone calls if people have questions or comments?
I would love to.
You can call Tony if you have a question or a comment at 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. That's our text line. And I don't think you've ever been stumped.
Oh,
have
don't
you?
Say, don't
I don't
say
think,
that.
No, is
don't
that
say
jinxing
that.
It? All right.
Yes, please.
Tony's
don't
often stumped. So if you have a question you might want an answer to, but you don't care,
best, yes.
Give us a call or a text.
Is anyone calling in?
Yeah, every line is full. As soon as you come by the building, Tony, people start calling. Tony Fulmer is here, the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, right across from the Panda Express. Treat yourself to some orange chicken and then go
and
say
then
hi to Tony.
Get a mock orange tree.
Yeah, it all
shrub.
Ties in.
Yeah.
Shrub, sorry. He's the expert, not me. So, Kathleen, you have a question for Tony Fulmer.
I do. Hi, Wendy, Steve, Bill, and Tony.
Hello.
Hi. I have two questions on hydrangea.
Okay.
First of all, you just spoke of it, when to trim them. I have not cut mine back. They are just all the dead winter stuff. Is it okay to do it now, to cut them down? And how far?
It always scares me when you say cut them down. That sounds like going right back to the ground. Do you know the name or the type of the varieties that you have?
I have two different types. This one is our Annabelle.
Okay. Annabelle, you can do whatever you want. You can cut it back 6 inches or a foot or 2 feet, or you can cut it within 6 inches of the ground. I would tend to, if it's a mature plant, I would generally not cut it back more than about 24 to 30 inches.
Now?
Okay.
Now if you cut it to the ground, it's still going to...
It'll just, if you do a hard prune, what we call a hard prune like that, it'll be a shorter plant and it will bloom later in the season. And for that reason, and also if you cut it back all the way to the ground, you tend to have weaker stems, and I think they don't support the flowers as well during the summer.
They're loppy.
So,
and what about a limelight?
Limelight very lightly. Very, very lightly. Okay. You take off last year's flowers and not more than probably 25 to 30% of the rest of the top of the plant.
I made a mistake about 5-6 years ago. I did a mass planting of Annabelles, and last year they just didn't do anything because they were too close together. Can I dig those up and move them?
Sure, right now. But,
okay.
You probably want a carb load before that. Because going to be like digging up a tree. If those are 3 or 4 years old, that's going to be a big, big root system. But you want to do it immediately, but while they're still dormant. So if you're going to move them, now's the time to do it as soon as possible.
Oh,
good
Thank
luck,
you
Kathleen.
Very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Sue has a question. Bill, you always look shocked when Tony...
I'm amazed, because she was just saying words, and whatever she said, what about Annabelle's? 3 weeks. What about limelight? 6 minutes. What about dippy-doos?
Horticulture is a first language, I guess. I don't know.
It's amazing.
All right, Sue, you have a question for Tony Fulmer. He's the best.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a raised bed that is elevated on legs, so it's about waist high, 2 feet by 4 feet.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I grew tomatoes in it the first year I had it. They did wonderful. The second year was last year. I put compost and fertilizer in with them. It was like they never grew. And somebody told me it was because I reused the dirt that the tomatoes had grown in the previous year. And that you couldn't do that. Is that true?
You can do anything. My personal preference is whenever I do things in a container, and basically what you're talking about, even though it's a raised bed, it's still a container. And most, when you put an artificial, I assume you put an artificial mix in there. You didn't put topsoil in there, right?
No, I did like a Miracle-Gro with the water retention.
And how deep is the bed?
I would say they're probably 10 inches.
It's pretty shallow.
I would be more tempted to, at the very least, I would replace at least half of that. And the thing you have to remember is from one year to the next, a vegetable gardening is a little bit like farming. And a lot of times your results are based on what the weather is like. And so the weather in 2015 was the spring was different than 2016. And the important thing to remember is that tomatoes are very heavy feeders and they like heat. And when it gets hot, they never want to wilt. You want to keep the even moisture on those all the time.
Okay. And thank you.
Thank you, Sue. And don't do what I do. I think you told me last year, I wait till they get a little dry and then I completely soak them for a long period of time.
Wilting is probably not the best indicator. You don't want that to be your indicator every time of when to water. You always, at the very worst, you want to catch it right before the plant wilts.
So a little bit every day.
No. With watering, it's always better. It's better to water deeply and infrequently than just to sprinkle the top and do that on a daily basis.
Look at him.
So in containers, you want to water through so that water is coming out the bottom of the drainage hole. That's the only way to know that you've thoroughly moistened the whole soil ball, and that way you'll get roots developing all the way to the bottom of the container.
Tony, sometimes my wife will go away for a couple of days at a time, sometimes months, sometimes years. And she always says, I need you to water the plants while I'm gone. So do I want to water the plant itself or the soil that the plant is resting in?
You want to water the soil.
Yeah. All right.
Water the soil.
That explains a lot.
No syringing or bathing the leaves.
Hit the dirt.
Roots.
All right.
And I don't do tomatoes in a container, so just soak the ground wet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And less frequently and more deep soaking.
Yeah. Whenever you water anything in a pot, when you decide that you need to water it, you should always water thoroughly enough that water is draining out the bottom, because this business of just dampening the top, plants are lazy and they'll tend to respond to that by producing a root system that's just at the top.
Tony, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, when the caller suggested that they were using Miracle-Gro, you winced a little bit. You got a little bit of I don't know if that's a good idea.
I was just trying to figure out where she was going with what kind of soil, because one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they try and cut corners and they buy bagged topsoil and put that in containers, and you are doomed for failure with that, because it will not drain. And you start watering that every day or every other day, and your plants are going to sit, and you can't get good plants out of a pot, a container full of topsoil.
Oh, right.
But always buy potting soil.
But if you're not having it in a pot and it's just your garden on the side of your house, that you can use topsoil, correct?
Of course, yeah. Okay. And to me, that would just be, you're leveling out a grade, maybe if you have little holes or little indentations, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, Susie has a question, more dirt questions. We like playing in the dirt, evidently. Susie?
Hi, good morning. I may be following up on Sue's question, because I also do a raised bed planter, and I put lettuces and, parsley and a couple of
cash crops,
smaller tomatoes in there.
Yes.
Yeah. And my question was maybe similar to hers, in that, do I remove all that dirt? Or did I hear you say correctly you can remove about half of it and then add in more potting soil so that it sort of freshens it up?
Yes. I guess that would be, to me, that would be about the minimum. It depends upon what the product is that you used. There are a lot of mixes now that are specifically for raised beds, and those are complete. And those you really don't have to do a replacement on. You might just have to add a little bit if they've settled a little bit. But if you're using standard potting soils that are peat or bark-based, I would tend to replace at least half of that.
Okay. And my follow-up very quickly is, you mentioned planting arugula and a couple of lettuces when the soil temperature is in the 50s to 60s.
Or below. Those two can be below 50.
Or below.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How do you harvest those to keep them growing? What's the best way?
Well, for example, on the lettuces, are you doing a leaf lettuce? Or are you doing a head lettuce?
I did a red leaf, and I did a red leaf. I did an arugula last year and something else. I can't remember.
Okay, arugula, I have never grown that, so I can't say on that. But on the lettuces, that's a matter of harvesting outside leaves.
Okay. So you don't cut it across.
I do, and then I have no more lettuce. It's like I have one crop, and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I ask whether you have a leaf lettuce or a head lettuce. So if you have a leaf, it's outer edges, and you keep that center growing.
All right. Good luck to you, Susie. Somebody wants to prune a red twig dogwood to even it up height-wise with its partner on the other end of the house. Can they do that now?
Can do that now. Absolutely. Yes.
Eating my roses. Their leaves were eaten by something. Also noticed lots of my neighbors had the same issues. Any clues?
Depends upon the time of year, but that's probably rabbits. Surprisingly, rabbits will eat rose leaves.
Really?
Especially early in the season when good greens are not available.
Yeah.
With the market.
Yeah.
And finally, what is the best bush for growing fast to line your property, help block wind and neighbors, anything except arborvitae? I can never say
arborvitae.
That.
Well, if you don't want an evergreen, if you want something deciduous, it depends upon how tall you want it to be. Probably a viburnum. But again, we need to know how much sun and how much shade you get, whether you want a formal look, how much you want to prune, that sort of thing. They can call me.
Okay, how do they reach you?
847-256-0561, extension 220, and leave a voicemail for me, and I'll call you back.
847-256-0561, extension
0560.
0560,
yeah.
Extension
0561. I'm sorry, I'm blanking here. I was thinking of my extension, and extension 220.
All right, we'll
so
do that again.
256-0561,
847-256-0561,
extension 220, and I will call them back.
How about a website?
What a great finale, yeah.
How about a website?
www.chaletnursery.com. Tony will never be back again.
No!
And please, can I just throw this in too? Please go to WGNradio.com/contest. Look for the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette contest, celebrating 100 years as a family-owned business. You can enter to win a $500 gift card from Chalet Nursery and a private one-hour consultation with this guy right here, Chief Horticulturist Tony Fulmer. You can create your own sentimental garden. Thank you so much.
My pleasure as always.
Bye, Tony. Have a good weekend.
Okay.
It's Tony Fulmer,
thank
everybody. You. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.